Can you describe decision-making processes when you live moment to moment? That was something we were talking about. As far as if you plan things, if you're trying to let your life become that way, are there conscious decisions that you make how you usually go about things to letting things happen more?
Well, do you plan a trip for next year?
No.
You don't plan a trip for next year. It's more spontaneity.
Yeah. See, years ago I used to plan the trip. Then I had to live the experience of the best laid plans of men, often turned to ridicule. So I realized I was doing my own emotional consciousness and not realizing that a blueprint is set up for my every moment where I have to be. And it's for my immunity to cope with it at that moment. But I did not know that. I was living my own illusions and frustrations, trying to plan out something only to find they were not materializing. Until I became conscious of my horoscope, what it had to present me. Then I realized that timing was more important, what I was doing at the moment. Now, the thought came into my mind while thinking about it. Jesus is saying, I of myself can do nothing. That means no matter how much decisions making you is trying to do, it has nothing to do with doing it. But the Father which is in me doeth everything. So I was forced to accept that events in my life was already pre-timed. I have to recognize them and work with them. And they're all organized for my highest good. But I may assume my highest good may mean one thing, but what actually my highest good might be, I have to find out by trial and error. So I couldn't make decisions and see them materialize when I wasn't aware of what the time frames of things were doing. So I then decided to focus on one thought, and that was when something came up that I had to act, I would decide in my mind in the yes, no, maybe process. Yes, I do it. No, I don't do it. Or maybe I do it. But whatever I decide, I must act it through regardless of the consequences and see if that was the right decision. In order to sort out this decision, or read the I Ching and all different sources of decision making, only to fall back on a simple system called a coin. And I toss the coin, heads I do, tails I don't. But I have to live it if I toss it, even though my mind tells me to do it, and I toss the coin and the coin says no, I must still go according to the flipping the coin, because I was getting my ego out of the way to act the moment. And if my ego is in the way and I'm going to force myself to do it and the coin says no, then I must suffer the consequences if it didn't turn out right.
So that if you have a thought to do something in the future, you can flip the coins now to find out whether or not it should happen in the future.
That's right. Now, depending how far in the future you want, because time changes. At the time you're thinking of it and deciding upon it, or you flip the coin and it says no, it may be for that moment, or another 20 minutes, or another hour. But when the hour or 20 minutes has passed, or half a day has passed, you flip it again, and it may say yes, then you better act. So it is a magnetic principle that is involved in your living out an experience, not a decision. A decision is only an indication of the involvement as a craving.
So you're eliminating the involvement or the craving with the coin flip.
So from that standpoint, then I began to apply the process of the polarity principle, yes, no, maybe. And so if I say yes, I act it. If I say no, I act it. But if I say yes and I feel that I should do no, then this is conflict in my head. So I had to eliminate the conflict between a yes and no, or maybe, by acting what I said. So whatever my feeling was at the moment, and spontaneously at the moment, I must act it. Otherwise my intuition would let me down, and then I'd be a victim of my intellect. So decision making became now a point of acting that very moment what I think. So I can't set up thinking ahead to act, because every experience is unrehearsed, it's unanticipated, and it's ever new. There is no two experiences the same, and there is no need to worry about trying to relive it. So if you look back, you see, have you had two same experiences?
No.
Can you relive them?
No.
But then you spend a lot of time what, worrying about what you should and what you shouldn't do, right?
That's why the coin flip, boy, it sure helped me out.
Yeah.
And something I wanted to do, and the first time you mentioned it, you said flip it three times, and then you said when you get good at it, you only have to flip it once. Well, I flipped it the three times, and I got two no's, and the third one was a yes, but I didn't waver, and I didn't do it, and I mean, I didn't plan to do it. It
right.
was a week or two away. And then I felt very free. The decision was made, and it really was a help.
Right. Because your ego is not involved. The total highest consciousness is involved for your highest good. And highest good is already a pre-planned process within the framework of the blueprint for where you have to be as a focal point for someone to benefit or benefit you, that they may be in a position to give you something and you're in the wrong place and you didn't get it. So in the overall picture, highest good is always planning out your highest good for you to experience, but you may not know it because your ego wants to experience something at the moment. But the indecision comes in as a form of letting you realize maybe you have to trust higher consciousness, and maybe the only way you can trust higher consciousness is to get the ego out of the way by flipping the coin and let the momentum of the mass decide when it lands in terms of acceptance. So heads I do, tails I don't, and it spins, and you take your ego out of the way and it drops. Heads I do, I act. Tails I don't waver no more a question, I act it. Even to my own fears that I should act. Yet, in a strange way, by obeying the input of the non-personal manifestation of the coin saying no, in a strange way, the very things I'm are going to suddenly appear to compensate itself as timing. That then changed my whole aspect, and I ended up saying this. Timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence directs your existence. Timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence is directing your existence. From that moment, I live the time, the moment of time. So, in strange ways, I have wanted things, and when I wanted it, and I flipped it, and I said no, I let go of it and concentrated on something else. And I was amazed that the very thing I wanted was given to me as a present. And sometimes I wanted to be in a certain place, and it said yes, and I had all the possibilities to get there. After seeing this unusual phenomenon of a yes, no, and a maybe in the time process, I began to live the moment. Then I came across Yogananda saying, I will reason, I will, and I will act, but guide all my reason and will and acts to the right place for the right experience. No experience is good or bad. It's an opportunity to discover your immunity. So that tells me if it's an opportunity for me to discover my immunity, I will act. If the coin says yes, if it says no, I'll act no. That's just my opportunity to what? Increase my immunity.
Will you explain that a bit more? Increase your immunity? Like, what does that actually mean?
All right, if this thing says no, and you want to do yes, are you going to do no without some kind of mental what?
Language.
Good, then isn't that not forcing you to act? Regardless, you don't want to act. Mm-hmm. But if you don't worry about what no would generate in you as a language and go ahead and just act no, your immunity principle responds. Your brain is a very peculiar function. It doesn't trust your words. Because you've fooled it so many incarnations over and over, it doesn't trust you. So spontaneity of action is one of the hardest phenomena to cover or control. So it forces you to face yourself if you really want to act what you say in order to withstand any kind of aggression or reaction or breakdown. That's why it does do that. And sometimes people don't realize that their decision-making is coming from their memory bank. And the memory bank is already setting up certain immune levels to be accomplished by confronting you or forcing you to waver between your left and right brain to do or not to do. And so you're in a turmoil, and so to avoid the conflict, you flip the coin and then look at the impersonal decision in reference to the condition. Then if you act without feeling threatened, or if it's to your very happiness, but act it. Now you want to do it, so you flip it and it says, head I do, tails I don't. And deep down you will, you want to do it, and heads come up, you're going to feel very happy, right? Now if tails comes up, can you be happy enough to say no?
Yeah.
Or you're going to feel despondent because you say no? But then you're going to have it. Are you going to act it out in a despondent way? Or just go ahead and act it out in a happy way too.
Well, you should act it out in a happy way. But what happens if you act despondently?
Then it will always come back and create problems. Because you're not free enough, either in a yes or a no state. One is still conditioned by your emotional nature.
So, Donald, in that situation, in the moment of being fixated by the despondent reaction, what is it that you can do to, one, free yourself from that fixation, or two, learn about how for it not to repeat itself through the memory bank again? In the moment of the happening of it.
You do this. It's called lion pose. And you do this. Leaf in the wind. It's called thumbing your nose up. So, stick your tongue out, thumb your nose, and tickle the ear.
What does that do?
It's called tantrum yoga.
Tantrum.
it automatically frees your psychological anguish and give you the humor of the moment.
That's right, it works that way.
Yeah, right.
There is a physiological thing, isn't there?
Like the physiological is the humor.
Okay.
Because that's what the whole purpose of the therapy is, a self-therapy. Mm-hmm. That moment in time may not be beneficial to you, therefore that's why the conflict goes on in the intellect to do or not to do. But if it was beneficial to you in that moment of time, you'd have very little conflict, and the decision to act would be so spontaneous. You know it deep down, and you act it out, it works out just as it's supposed to work out. But when it's not for you to act that moment, there is that indication of sensing something is not all wrongly dealt. That's because nature has something for you to experience at that moment in some other reference point than the one that you're wishing to do. So it's blocking the other one to give you a certain experience in another. And it's a matter of recognizing it. So all experiences to be experienced, strange as it may seem, is recorded in memory. The future is already memory, but it's not experience. The past is already memory, but it's already experience. The present is already memory, now about to be experience. Because in the beginning, where would you put in? Think of that statement, in the beginning, where would you store in? It's already memory, so it's called in the beginning was the word. Memory, more of me. Mm-hmm. The me has all this procreated or pre-created or pre-arranged or futuristically arranged dimensions of experiences line up as blueprints in itself. So years ago, they used to say thought, word, deed. Today we say blueprint, contract, production. So the blueprint is a Carl Jung way of saying archetypal processes. Mm-hmm. We will always think up the things we want to do, and then we have to decide when we want to do it, and then we have to pay the consequences of experiencing it at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is the consequences of experiencing it at the wrong time to learn about how to master the memory programming as well as build the immune system? To build
that, that's valid, but let me put this one way. Your horoscope sets you up already for you to experience correct decisions, 50% of the horoscope, and 50% incorrect decisions. But you must experience both. It is not for your intellect that you're experiencing it, or your ability to decide and always have everything in your favor. The 50% correct and the 50% non-correct is to develop immunity to the moment and responsibility to the moment. So 50% correct, that's responsibility to the moment. 50% incorrect is immunity to the moment. So your immunity is challenged when things go wrong. Your responsibility is reinforced when things go right.
But eventually you'd be shaken from one extreme.
But that's
another.
The whole purpose. It's to free you from a potential stagnation into a kinetic dynamism. Why your horoscope is set up like that, why your lifestyle is set up for you to live in the time frame till you transcend the horoscope. Now it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God which is within you and its righteousness, and it will free you, free men or lord of yourself. This is a statement laid out for a lifestyle to pursue in order to achieve the ultimate in yourself. But where will you seek it? Inside of yourself. What you're seeking inside of yourself is how to come to grips with decision making that is not more than challenges to act or not act as they present themselves. Now, if your blueprint shows you shouldn't act, and you take a biorhythm and it shows you shouldn't act, are you going to act? hurt yourself in the end? Now who are you going to blame? When all these things are showing, there may be a reason why you should not do yes, you should do no. And deep down you're still angering with yourself and saying, I want to do it, I want it, just because you have an ego drive. Don't let the ego ruin you, because it can't make you live.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh. You said all of our future experiences are already in memory. Is that, is it possible that we tap into some of that sometimes?
It's called Akashic Records by Mr. Casey, known as the Sleeping Prophet in this country. Yogananda looked down the card of time and saw all the way to midnight eternity, civilizations waiting to be born. Yet he can't do a single thing to make them wake up. So his head is total memory, and what? How could he interfere with the life form in that particular level of awareness? But he's looking at it. Now he has two options: to look at it and not interfere, or be prepared to act when it needs his help, knowing fully how to cope with it. But you can't alter. Now, I have a friend who lives in Arizona, not too far from here. His name is Chief War Eagle. And a friend of mine who lives in Santa Fe one day wanted to go and have him give her a reading. And I told her, my friend would not do anything unless you ask him. So she took all her time and she drove to see him. And when she got there, to her amazement, this was the question he asked her. She wanted to know something about her future. And he said, do you give me permission? She said, what do you mean, do I give you permission? I want to know the future. He said, do you give me permission? He said, well, all right, what's the permission for? But I can't understand why you need permission. He says, please, do you give me permission? She said, yes, you have my permission. He says, fine. Now I don't have to be responsible for your karma. You want to know the future? He doesn't want to assume the responsibility for telling her her future. She should be able to go through without knowing, to face it on her own emotional potency and transcend it by confidence in herself. But to ask her head, he needs the permission from her not to be held liable for tapping in on her privacy and individuality. So he was making her conscious, though he's capable of seeing into the time frame, he doesn't have the right to interfere with the other person's experience to develop their immunity by pre-warning them. Now, forewarned is forearmed, but it's not forelived. See what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't want to interfere, and even Brother Jesus wouldn't go and interfere. But he may say these things are coming, but it's up to you to prepare yourself to live it. And he's not going to live it for you. I don't know where he live it for me. He look at me when I fall off the building, he'll do a doggone thing and move with his eyes and say, breathe. Clutch, I'm laughing like heck. Because he wouldn't breathe for me, I got to breathe for myself. The fact is, I breathed for myself when I was born, so he's not going to breathe for me now when I fall off a building. You see? The fact is that you have accomplished a function, and then you have to decide in the yes, no, maybe, do you want to breathe or not?
Well, after you have made a decision, how do you know you've made the right one?
Ah.
Is there some special sign or something?
I'm going to tell you a little story. A sister of mine said to me, Adano, when you know God, all your good and lousy decisions are fulfilled. So it tells me I don't have decisions that I experience that would infer that they were good or bad, that I should know the difference. They were set up for me to experience. And so in my reassessment, the ones that were good I call good, and the ones that weren't good I call them lousy. But they were necessary for me to do what?
Learn.
So then I look through the horoscope and I see very factual about it. The horoscope is 50-50. 50% of the horoscope is correct decisions. 50% of the horoscope is lousy decisions, not incorrect ones, lousy. And they don't come one after the other. They're like random, throw the ball. And so it's to develop immunity. So you may feel threatened by this particular kind of a mind game, but that's only way how the cells know to fight or survive against being torn down by immunity deficiency. The immunity deficiency will take over if everything is sequentially laid out for you to act right. And because it's not laid out for you to experience one after the other act right sequence, but a random challenge sequence. And in the whole picture is half and half. But it doesn't tell you which half comes first. It's so random. But in the end result, you end up being immune to a breakdown pattern if you go through it. And from that point, I realize if I go through any condition, even though I may feel threatened to make the decision and the decision turned out to be right or wrong, it was primarily for my immunity function. And I don't feel threatened with it, though I realize I feel happy with 50% of the time right, and I feel unhappy with 50% wrong. But the point is, how would I have anything to compare to gain my strength or sense of focus if they weren't there for me to experience? So for that matter, this morning my decision might have been lousy, this evening my decision is good. So, you know, see what I mean? So
it takes the pressure off of
right, exactly. Right. So you begin to right. So you begin to look at the events in the throughout the day, daily events, the timing of it, how things work to so unique a timing to amaze you. That you want to see somebody and you just thought of them, there they were. And you know, you begin to see that timing is the priority now over right or wrong decision. The mere fact, if I told you or someone told you back in 1970, you'd be sitting in a house in Flagstaff out by some ranch in the month of May of June of 1988, look at the South Slatter guy talking about God, what would you say? All right, good, okay. Now, that is would be considered a prediction or a weird psychic phenomenon, or you wouldn't even believe the person. If both of us were leaning down to pick up a pin and we bump our head, would you call that synchronicity? Good. If we survived the bump without bruising our nose, would you call that grace or lucky? Good, see? So, in the process of timing, each moment could be a lousy or nice decision. It would be a lousy decision if you would wait till the month of June 1988 and it didn't show up. Thinking about the person that said way back in 1970, you see? Now, if it was a good decision, it showed up. But then you weren't there, what do you do? You see what I mean? That's what you're talking about, synchronicity and prediction and grace. They're all aspects of time, but they do have a challenge in terms of decision making. Now the timing seems to be the critical point of making a decision acceptable or non-acceptable. So in spite of the fact that things may seem bad, at the last moment it turns out good. You ever had that kind of experience? Mm-hmm. And even when you say you don't want to do something, at the last minute you say, I'll do it just at the last minute. And these are the things you have to take in terms of spontaneity, that you look at the situation and then leave yourself open to respond. So we really can't be 100% projected to act when something may turn up to be priority of it, and you got to act. So you become more conscious now of the timing. every instant of time becomes the priority function. Now, timing does regulate our action, but Sanex regulates timing. Have you ever decided to go down to the airport to pick up a friend, and you look at the clock and you say you're late? Have you ever been in any situation where you go to do something and the clock tells you you're going to be late? 9 times out of 10, are you late or early? Good. Now that's valid. That's good. I've been in that situation years ago. Every time I look at the clock and I'm late, I'm late. And the incident of the to experience always turn out I'm 3 or 4 minutes late. And the other person is going. So I began to look at this situation over the years of decision making in terms of experience. And I'm going on the one day in a car with 2 other people, and everybody's saying, we're late, we're late, we're late. Right there and then I said, I am through with this nonsense. Why can they not be late and I be early? Why should I always be saying, I am late and they're early? Because I look at the clock and it's saying, I am late and they're early. If Brother Jesus say, what you say with your mouth is going to happen, let's find out now which is really valid. They late, I early? So the 2 other people are in the car looking at me kind of weird. It's only Dana's craziness. But I start saying, no man, they're late, I'm early. They're late, I'm early. And for sure, we arrive at the place where I'm supposed to be, and the person is not there. We're in the car waiting, and 10 minutes, the person showed up. And they're making every excuse in the book of a red light, traffic, all kind of things, and they are make to open the place to do business. Then I said to the folks when we came out, you see how things work? You got the idea, you got to be late, and you end up late. You never got the idea, they late, you early. So from now on, I defeat decision making in terms of what? Refocusing. No matter what the decision is and how I have to do it in terms of the time frame, I refocus it, they late, I early. They're short, I got enough. Or they got they got more, they're lonely right now. You see, you refocus it.
Do you have to be perfectly synchronized and in time yourself in order to be able to do this? Or?
No, you have to accept the fact that cause and effect works, the synchronicity of the thing works, and that you're living on the 144 elements, and if you're eating on time, what is that other person made of? 144 elements, right? What are you made of? 144 elements. Now, if you're out of sync, it only can be 2 reasons. You're not eating on time, and you're saying they're late, you're early. But if you're eating on time, everything is set to synchronize with you, so in a matter of refocusing, you're early, they're late.
So if everybody's keeping their word, though, everybody be on time.
That's right.
Okay, in that sense, if people are on time.
Good. Now, I had to prove that another way, in paying bills. We all got bills to pay, rich man, poor man, all got bills to pay. But then there are 3 ways to pay the bill. Pass the time and it's due again before you even get off the bill. That's the, everybody find themselves in that situation sooner or later sometime. Or on time and nothing left over and you're waiting to work to get through to pay it again next month. But whoever said ahead of time, no. Some businessmen operate that way. They pay the bill and get 2% off in 10 days instead of paying 2% after 10 days. So I refocus it to say, I'm willing to pay my bills ahead of time with some to spare and some to share, and I don't give a damn what the number is. Now think of that statement. If you got a bill mark $1 trillion and you're going to pay it ahead of time, would you worry with the number? are you a millionaire if you can pay the bill ahead of time? Or are you worrying about the million number of the paper that you owe? The number will make you be a pauper. The number will make you go bankrupt. Because you're defeating the very purpose of the obligation to the bill. What's the obligation of the bill? To pay. But when do you want to pay it? Past the time, on time, or ahead of time? With some to spare and some to share. But I said, don't concentrate on the number now. Concentrate on what? The commitment to fulfill an obligation. You don't seem like you don't get it.
Yeah, so in other words, even meeting somebody, you'd eventually even be a little bit before time, the same thing, to keep a commitment.
That's exactly why it works, and I have to use it myself. I'm willing to pay my bills ahead of time with some to spare and some to share, and I don't worry about the number. Because one time when I did worry about the number, all the money backed up on me and I couldn't meet my bills for the whole month because I was focusing on number. Then I look up in the sky and said, hey, Big Daddy, let's get this thing straightened out. You don't punch the clock, you punch customers. I don't want to punch no more clock, I want to punch customers. I'll do the dirty work down here till midnight eternity. Now turn on the floor, you can shove it. 2 days after, it was moving. And then the big voice says, now quit putting number in your head and live the trust.
So it's,
can you live the trust?
And you're speaking what you want.
So the words are, I'm willing to pay my bills. It ain't got a number. When you want to pay it, ahead of time, with some to spare and some to share. But don't say ahead of time with spare to share. You're going to lose, muck it up. There's some to spare and some to share, and don't put a number. You want to put trust into the process. So they say, in God we trust, and everybody else what, cash? But you see, number isn't involved even in the word cash. Do you see it? Don't put a number, the flow of the energy works. It's intended to work because the creative intelligence has set up its own process to punch the customer and not punch the clock. So if you are the expression of the creative consciousness or the mirror image, you must apply the same law and put it to the test. So you tell the creative consciousness, look, you ain't punching the clock, you punching customers. I don't want to punch the clock, I'll punch the customers, I'll do the dirty work down here till midnight eternity, but keep the flow going. And so let's get on with the job of doing it. I'm paying the bills ahead of time. I don't care what number it is. There's some to spare and some to share. And that's decision making cover right up, because day late, I'm early. That's decision making. You make the thing work by refocusing. But don't say the decision, I've got to do this, and then put it in a focus point to give you the optional time to complete what you got to do. So this is where decision can work for you by refocusing its time frame. So once you refocus the time frame, you get through by the skin of your nose.
What about the good areas in your life when you focus on something good? I said to myself once, this is the only area of my life that works, and from that day on, it went berserk.
It should. Because you automatically deprive the bad areas of your life.
I deprive them?
Yeah. They are there set up by nature for you to experience and develop immunity by the challenge. I said that the whole thing is 50-50. 50% that I had to go through it. That's why when I said a sister told me this, as a spiritual person, she said, Adano, when you know God, this whole perspective process, all your good and lousy decisions are fulfilled. And I said, uh-oh, I sure walk into this one. And it means that, she said, and it means your horoscope is divided 50-50. Half of the time, you got good things to live out, and the other half of the time, you got some lousy ones to live out. But they're not going to come one after the other, so you can say tomorrow is a lousy one, the day after tomorrow is a good one, and the day after tomorrow, you don't come like that. They are coming random. But once you realize it's 50-50, you don't worry no more about having to live it or not to live it. Because whenever it pops up, that's the one, if it's a lousy one or a good one. So after a while, you begin to laugh, there ain't no lousy one. It's the opportunity to what? Get more capability to cope. That's what Jesus called. Now, the peace I give, the world don't give. The world may give you 6 feet under the ground and a piece of stone over your head, say, may you rest in peace. But I, the Christ, gives you the strength to cope at this moment and whatever lousy decisions you got to live out with. And that's the essence of it. That the decision is only like a hurdle in a racetrack for a horse. And that's the moment of the experience. All life is experience in some form or other. One is challenging and some are not challenging. So you got to recognize the challenging one requires patience on your part to cope with it. When there's no challenge, there's the fun of appreciating it. But if you can see the fun in both aspects, the lousy ones and the good ones, and just see the fun of it before you know it, none of the lousy ones ever come back. That's a funny thing about it.
So sense of humor is...
I think that Big Daddy likes to tweak the nose of his creation to see if they really would stick out. And if you see they don't panic by giving them a few lousy ones, he then quit giving them lousy ones. But he's testing us in some form to see if we got the sense of wanting to stick things out to overcome limitation. Now, when you go to school, if you were a school teacher and you had students to examine, would you pass a student if he failed? But if you were the student that failed, would you feel threatened every time you see the teacher? But if you didn't feel threatened because you failed and you see the teacher, would you not go ask the teacher what you can do to improve? Mm-hmm. And if the teacher start to show you certain things about your way of doing things, and then if you come back for the test the next time, would you feel threatened? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're here to learn. Mm-hmm. We're here to learn mistakes, but then we have a few teachers who live before us. They all give us the inspiration to stick it out, then we in turn begin to take the courage to stick it out.
Well, then why do we use geometry and alphabet to call it mistake? Mm-hmm. Why did that happen? Why did we use language to mess up our brain patterns?
How would you know not to mess up your brain? If you never made a mess up first, how would you? You see, I'm telling you something.
Okay, so it's necessary in chemical bodies for language to do that.
The human brain is tissue. The moment the air goes into it, it's not smart. All it is doing is becoming conscious like a camera. Now, it can't talk, therefore it cannot be programmed. A camera cannot be programmed. All a camera can do is what? Photograph and record. But then, that is referred to as your five senses in your brain. The next aspect of your brain is intellect. Intellect means something got to be told to be stored inside of you, and you got to let it come out when the punch button mark replay. So you're a jerky what? Repetitional monkey. So we come out to do antics. And that's what intellect is. So our parents program us to be functional. And if you don't respond on replay, they whack it into you. Mm-hmm. Till you learn the lesson. So they call that discipline. Today we call it child abuse. Mm-hmm. Alright, so the intellect gets programmed by repetition. The five senses is set up to camerize, like a camera. What is the intuition supposed to do? Everybody wants the intuition as if it's some magical power, only to find out it's a radar function in your brain. It can scan something before it occurs, but it's thing of prevent it from happening. So intuition can scan incidences that you have to face, but your intellect and five senses will force you to act it out. So if you depend upon the mistakes you've learned from your intellect, as soon as you have to face the incident to live, you're going to, what? Take time not to muck it up. And that's where the focusing comes in from your previous experience. So we need the mistakes to give us the strength to compare, to act, in order not to make the same mistake again. So, nothing venture, nothing gain, and everything is pain. P-A-I-N, he throws you out because you were in him, that's par in. And then it's P-A-I-N, it hurts like heck to be cut off from mama to start living and standing on your own 2 feet. Then it's P-A-Y-I-N-G all your life. But you won't find all three is fun. Daddy is having fun throwing you out, and you're having fun beating all the rest to win. Mama is happy to throw you out, and you're happy to stand here 2 feet after you win.
So, Donald, if timing and synchronicity are becoming more predominant, and there's no longer the fixation of lousy or correct decisions, is there a point where the horoscope shows you you're would be
so an equiflow function is being aware of the equal distribution of how your mass works within you. Now people do work totally unaware of their mass, how it works. Half of the mass is stiff and the other mass is loose. But they're busy working to prove that they can work. And when they get tired, who they blame?
Somebody else.
Yeah, when the other half of their body is so stiff and sore from overworking it, they didn't take any consideration to look at why their body is stiff and sore. Now if they take time to consider before they act to do anything and make sure that their own body is flowing and acting in balance, they never get what? Locked in or stressed out. So you got the unified field for the first time. That's what Einstein, the yogi calls it yoga. You have yoga or union or cell consciousness. Conscious from within your cell, the equiflow of your life. So that you're not moving or acting in an imbalanced way. You know it as homeostasis or metabolic function of your cells. In religion, they call it Christ awareness. No matter what you label it, it has one thing in common. You'll get through in spite of yourself. So if you look at it that way, decision can be handled. Now, do you agree that matter and mind? What is matter? Or mind over matter. What is matter?
Density, isn't it? Density, isn't it?
Elements.
Regulated energy.
Elements, 144 elements.
Well, you know what the right matter this is.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
You write matter this. M-A-T-T-E-R. You never write it M-A-T-T-E-R. Write it this way, we're going to see something about matter, M, is moving. The word M, the letter M is moving. A, atoms. T, timeless. T, transforming. E, emission. R, recurrence. That's matter. Moving atoms, timelessly transforming, emission recurrence. Therefore, there is no end to the existence of the universe as matter in motion, timelessly occurring. Mind, M, the big M, is memory. I, internal, works from inside you as a function. N, navigating. the decision or detonation or desire. So memory internally navigates detonation or desire or decision. So the navigating is a left brain, right brain manipulation for you to experience what? Health. Now, H-E-A-L-T-H, H-E-A-L-T-H, H-E-A-L-T-H. And the whole thing you found that he is all there is in the form of healing, and they call it health. You ain't got nothing else but the big fat nose to breathe air in to heal yourself by feeling healthy. So we call him Lord God, health. If you don't breathe, it's over. So instead of calling him God, call him Lord Health. He'd love it because it's a nice Jewish word, H-E-A-L-T-H, Hialte, or Persian Hialte, or in English, health. However you want to call it, it's livingness. So God breathed into man breath of life, and man became what? Livingness, or living soil. But that's what we are, livingness, which is health, not deathness. And we can function with it by recognizing it at the nostril. That's what it is. Now, if you don't come back in, I'm stuck. So I got to bribe him. That's called income breath. I go pay income breath to Daddy. You know, you pay Mr. Reagan income tax, let's pay Daddy some income breath. No, that's, yeah.
I'm on the way till you're done, if you're still. I'm on the way till you're done with this. I have something else to do.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm being more and more interested in gardening these days. And I've come across some things about Finhorn, the garden over in, I think it's Scotland. And I've also come across, it's called Pyrolandra, it's over in Virginia. People working with what they call nature spirits, devas, elementals, the overlying intelligences of plants and sometimes animals. And they work in harmony with the blueprints that they lay out for the plant. And everything works out real good. What's all your experience or your feelings or whatever on working with these things?
My friend, if ever you're initiated by me, you would have tangible experience of elementals, because anyone who's initiated by me will tell you, you have to be approved before you get initiated. So if you never got approved, you don't know what an elemental is. Anyone in this room been approved for initiation? What happened on the day of approval?
A sign?
Keep talking. Rain.
Rainbows.
Good. Those facts you have as evidence that you have dominion over the elements, but you don't have ownership. So if you ask for initiation, which simply means to drive the car, not be a passenger in life, to control the flow of the atoms in you as elements, then all other elemental expression of it outside must pay what? Obeyance to you or respect to you. So we sing a song. You want to sing that song? We love you, we love you, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. Our dear elementals we do, all beings of air, fire, and water, and beings of earth we love you. I am presence. You see where it is? For all elementals, the great, the small, I am presence, through them give protection to all. Now who has the I am presence? The singer or the object that has been commanded? Good. Now you know where you are. You see, you're a child of God. You're not a servant of God. Them elementals are servants. Big Daddy that made them to work for you. He made you to control them with the big fat mouth. So, but I love those people, and I don't tear them down. As I said, even in solo nutrition, I'm not here to tear down none of the process. I'm here to establish what is factual about the process. Timing takes priority. My I amness take priority over the elements. I must love them, though. And in loving them, I'm allowed to express equiflow. But if I don't love them, then I'm entitled to what? Repercussions. Now, not too long ago, last Thursday night, on the way from Houston to Santa Fe, you remember how powerful a night that was? Flooding all the sky with all hurricane, tornado blowing away, thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
We are driving on the road and big trucks all stopped. Rain is falling and hail is pouring on like crazy. You can't see in front. And Ginger and my shorter friend are sitting in there. And Ginger's laughing. She says, "What are you going to do? Nothing like this will happen." And what are we singing when we're driving? I love you, we love you, we love you. And Mother Nature is putting on this beautiful show. I have seen lightning go like this. I've seen lightning go like that and spin. But I never seen lightning make a mesh. Five lines this way and five lines going up in the clear sky, blowing it. We're laughing because here I'm singing one song and another song is going through my head. And the other song that's going through my head is this: "What lightning flash or glimmers in my face, O Divine Mother." That's a song that you're going to use to sing. And I'm laughing because I can see his face. He always says, "If you want to see me, a daughter look in a rainbow." But here I see this big weave of lightning. He's standing in the lightning and laughing like crazy. "What lightning flash glimmers in my face, O Divine Mother. Seeing you, I am thrilled through and through. I am thrilled through and through." What a jazzy the fun of the... You know, it sounds comical to sing it as a person, but when you see big flashing in the sky, and then you see the thing, you know there's more to the physics going on.
Oh.
Well, that was it.
Now, Donna, would other people say on the road, they wouldn't see Yogananda in the sky, but would they see the grid pattern?
Yeah,
they
see the grid pattern.
They would
it
see
was there,
pattern.
Yeah. It went on for nearly an hour. So it wasn't something that just flashing for us.
Wow.
That's what I said to Ginger. I said, "Next time you travel with me, bring some kind of a TV, video camera that can record with a portable and let's photograph some of these impossible scenes."
Yeah.
But what was funny, pieces of the hail was coming out of the sky, plonk, 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 all along, you know, just big chunks like a marble, you know, when it really hits the top of the van. You thought of for a moment, it came in with those pieces of ice. Sometimes I wonder when hail, you know, you see right down the road, it says, "Don't mess with us in Texas," and all this kind of these signs, you know, for people throwing refuse and the thing. I figure some buddy up there must be throwing an ice bucket out. Big Daddy. Throwing out his ice bucket.
There's ice machines going.
Yeah, right.
Speed in.
But Finhorn is good, and I'm familiar with their work.
It was just striking something in me somewhere that I was really interested in perking up my ears in that.
Yeah.
If I come across it again and something's happening with it, then I probably would feel to start working with that. It would feel good.
The elementals are there. They help us by being our nursemaid. But when you accept your divinity within you as the creative consciousness, you realize you have to step out of their caring for you as a nursemaid and start exercising your right as an heir to the throne of truth, which is a spoken word in your mouth. And that's why truth is the root of life. That's why it's called truth, the root. The very root of life is a spoken word. And the more you understand the spoken word, it focuses around the word I am. I am, see, not I am this, I am that. I am. See. I am. Now, I changed that around to suit functional experience by using conditions of nature already locked up in the I am. The sperm that got to the ovum was a winner, right? So, the statement is called one, W-O-N, right? When did he win it? Now. There's not yesterday or tomorrow. Whenever it happened, it was now. So if you spell now backwards, what you got?
One.
Hmm?
One.
So you see you could never lose? Mm. If you're going to be existing in the now, how could you lose? Mm. Now is already indicative of one. So be a good Indian and call God one now. Instead of Watanka, one now.
That is in the song. One now,
yeah.
And there is some sound for that.
Yeah, great. But let me put it this way. I know decisions are always going to bug us. But if we want to really overcome being a victim to decision and always feel threatened by it, then why not play the game of commitment to decision? Take a condition and act it out. Completely. Don't have no if, buts, or maybe about it. Just say, I will do this till you finish it. And then see what strength you gather from the finished act. That is why, if you want to master decision, go back to school. The diploma doesn't say if you have an A, B, or a C. It merely says what?
You
just stick it out. So you don't have any way to fool yourself no more. You can be very competent in making decisions after that. That's the reason why school systems were set up like that. All the way right up to the top. To develop a sense of commitment to finish what you say. Therefore, there will be no anguish when you make statements, they know you can act them out. And you wouldn't make it if you're not going to act it out. So that was the reason why it is set up like that. But that's always going to be with us as a process. But it was already set up years ago in the biblical writing. To him that overcometh, I will not send forth a second time, but I make him a pillar in the house of the Lord. To make some stand in reference to some action and stick it out is the decision and the capacity to live it. So once you understand it, you're free from the anguish of thinking that decision is threatening you.
What about those times when you don't live it through? When you somewhere along that line of making the decision and starting to act on it, you reverse the decision. Is it, that's not being in the, is that just being out of sync, or can the timing change?
The timing will still take priority for you to complete it or not complete it at that moment, but at another moment. So, if you're supposed to complete it, you'll make it by the skin of your nose. If you're not supposed to complete it, you'll be delayed. So this is basically, we are more concerned to live life by the grace of God than by the delay. Mm-hmm. See, in Texas we have a sign, use Jones Road and avoid delay. And right down the other, you see Jones Road, and then there's a little exit off which is incomplete, it's marked Delay Road. So all delay roads are incomplete. It's funny when you see it, you know, you think of the comedy of it. The Jones Road is finished, and then the delay road called Delay is not finished. But the name of the road is going to be Delay. Uh-huh. But they're making a funny joke out of it. Use Jones Road and avoid delay. And they're telling you that the one called Delay is not finished. It's an unfinished road. And yet when you drive around and you look at it, the comedy of it, the humor of it in your head, avoid delay. So decisions to act is very direct, and the avoidance is always going to play games in our head. Let's try a little meditation, but tonight I want to really experience some unusual conditions in meditation. As you close your eyes, try to feel your body. Be conscious of you sitting inside of your body. And while sitting inside of your body, with the eyes closed, feel or become aware of